So after learning about the preventive maintenance, let's understand what are the various issues and challenges that can be there for engineering department. When electric supply is concerned, you can understand there are chances of electric shock because of some or the other faulty connections. Some problem outside at times also can lead to electric shock. Or there are chances, since the person, electrician, is going to place the electric wires at the height also, at times there are chances of getting faults from a height. Or some tripping hazard also can be there due to some wiring being kept, in case of emergency, just hanging loosely on the floor and just starting the work. Then comes electrical and equipment safety is very important, because if that is not taken care of, the costly equipments can conk off and then the repairs are very costly. So earthing should be done always to prevent the electric shock, electrocution, etc., for the users of the equipment and for better safety for the equipment itself also. Then there are licensed electricians. One should always have the electricians who are licensed only, so that they have got adequate knowledge about how to give the electric supply, and in case of some problem, they are able to correct it with their competent knowledge about it, and then they take the due safety precautions because of their knowledge, skills, and hence there are less chances of accidents occurring also, or less chances of the equipments being spoiled because of the wrong type of trial and errors done by non-competent electricians. Personal protective equipment is again very important, so that they are using the safety shoes, if required even safety goggles, gloves, etc., to prevent any electrical and fall hazards, etc. Ladders should be of the best quality with the proper recommendations given by the qualified safety officers. Scaffolds should not be made of metal. Even the ladders should not be made of metal, because we know that metal is a good conductor of electricity, and hence those who are nearby also, suppose they touch that, even they can get electrocuted and electrical hazards can be there. As far as the hazardous material handling is concerned, one has to be very careful. One has to follow all the special procedures, especially for mercury vapor. In case the mercury lamp breaks, there are chances of mercury vapor coming, and one should take care of the universal waste rules to take care of how the mercury should be collected and then preserved and then properly disposed of whenever there are chances of any breakages of some equipments where mercury is used. One should use only those electrical equipments where there is energy efficiency, for example, LED lights and all. It will lead to saving of the cost, saving of the electrical energy, and one has to look into plant maintenance and that preventive maintenance, the proper servicing of all the electrical equipment, including the tube lights, LED lights, fans, ACs, etc., so that the breakdown of these will be minimal, so that the electrical consumption by these equipments also will be optimum. They are not using more electricity. As far as the response to the complaints are concerned, they should be done at the earliest, because it can be very dangerous. Sometimes it can lead to some electric shock to the patient or the relative, then you can understand how much hue and cry will be there, and even for the staff. Or if the sufficient light is not available or the equipment is not able to run, and since all the vital equipments are to be used in hospitals, where one has to have the cautery for surgical cautery for stoppage of the blood, using the proper light while doing the laparoscopic surgeries, where you can observe properly what's there inside and then accordingly operate. So one can understand the importance of electricity, especially for the patients, when the patient has got the ventricular fibrillation and immediately electric shock is to be given to his heart. Suppose the electricity is not working, you can understand it can lead to death of a person. Then comes retrofit versus redesign. At times you have got some old equipment, it has conked off, and now you have got some of the parts which are obsolete and you try to fix some new parts on it and try to retrofit it, but then it can lead to a problem in future. In such cases, it's always better to do redesigning and replace the equipment rather than do it by using the older ones with some obsolete spare parts and trying to fit it. Now, as far as the electrical supplies are concerned, in the hospital, for electricity, you should have 24 hours electricity available. You should have the backup in the form of inverters and DG sets, etc. Electrical mains should be located on the ground floor with substations. Everybody should know where it is located. The load taken by that and the substations should be known by the qualified electrician, who will see to it that only sanctioned load is given to that. As far as the various sources of electric supply are concerned, one should be knowing how much they can give based on the requirement of the hospital. The receiving station, the transformer, the substation and store room for fuel outside transformer room should be located in such a way that it's not going to have any obstructions to reach. There should be high tension panel, low tension panel, automatic voltage stabilizers for all the electrical and electromagnetic equipments. Sufficient number of generators should be there for a big hospital. One should always go for proper preventive maintenance for all the kind of equipment, for changing the electrical line whenever some of the casing is broken, some of the wires are in dilapidated conditions due to wear and tear. If there is a rat menace, one should be more careful. So preventive maintenance is very, very essential. One has to have all the safety guards possible in case of equipments, if there are any chances of some live virus or some sharp objects or moving machinery, etc. One should have enough number of properly calibrated diagnostic equipments to find out if there are any problems coming up, and regular calibration of the equipments also should be done. One should have shielded isolation for transformers, switchboards, power panels. However, they should be convenient for use, and there should be some points of accessibility whereby the whole thing should not be opened up and corrections can be done. If there is a power failure, one can easily find out where exactly the problem is located, and only that small portion of it can be opened up and then corrected easily. Panel boards serving normal lighting and appliance circuits also should be looked into, and see to it that they are properly located, well encased, so that there are no hazards. Now let's understand about the important aspect of water supply in a hospital. Hospital needs 24/7, 365 days a year, continuous flow of water. That also not only the normal water, but even in some parts distilled water, in some parts the drinking water everywhere naturally, then some water for washing and hygiene purpose, etc. So a lot of water is required. Similarly, steam is also required for some of the functions. For example, laundry central sterile supply department, etc. Now this is the possible layout of water distribution system, where it can be given in branched as well as in loop form. Now what are the stages of water supply management in a hospital? One should have a proper water committee formed, where you have got the managers, clinicians who will be able to guide us what kind of water will be required at which places, how much pure water is required at some places. In some places you need the RO filtration for the dialysis, etc. So you should be having clinicians also as a part of the team for water supply. You should have the right technical as well as ancillary staff for that. For example, even the dialysis technician can be taken, some technician from the laboratory can be there, and nurses, etc. also should be one of the members for the committee, and the other ancillary staff in the form of engineers, civil engineers, the electrical engineers, etc. Analyzing the existing situation, first one should analyze the existing situation, how many bedded hospital it is, how much water is supplied, whether it is adequate, whether there are more complaints coming up, or whether only during some hours of the day the water is adequate, some hours of the day when the requirement is more, at times the power is going down, power in the water pipeline is going down, or there are some complaints. So first you analyze the existing situation, then you have to plan proper setting and see if the improvement can be done in the existing ones, if possible, by the right kind of support given by the T-junctions, or using some of the extra pressure pumps, etc. Discuss major aspects of current situation of water supply in the committee and take all the experts' opinion how to improve it. See to it that proper sanitation has to be maintained in the hospital, and therefore a huge amount of water is required for maintaining the sanitation of the water. That one should never forget. One should see for the healthcare waste management, which is also quite huge, and as per the waste management rule of the country, of the state, you have to follow all that. There also you need lot of water. And what are your hygiene targets based on the type of hospital, based on the type of specialist and super specialist services you are having, based on the percentage of nosocomial infections which you want to reduce naturally. So based on various hygiene targets also, you will be able to calculate how much water supply and what kind of water, whether it is filtered water, the RO filtered water, the UV filtered water, and various other kinds of sewage water, etc., has to be seen into consideration while supplying the water supply. Do the root cause analysis, why this particular pipe is having the problem of the filtration. Then you are doing the water chemical analysis to find out whether it is bacteria free or not, whether the steam, when you are looking for the autoclaving, etc., whether it is achieving the right kind of temperature, and any other pressure problems are there in the autoclave. So do the root cause analysis to find the causes and sub causes and still further sub causes of it, and then try to sort out the problem at the root cause level. Find out exactly where the problem lies, find out the various alternatives to solve these problems, find out the pros and cons of each alternative, and then try to solve the problem with the right kind of alternative to be used and implement it, and then even monitor and find out whether it is really working or not, otherwise go for the other alternative. So this is how problem solutions will be taken care of. One has to have the right technology choice given by the experts. As far as the operation and maintenance of the water supply is concerned, one should have the right kind of expertise available with us, and if required, even external sources and experts can be taken the help of them by doing proper auditing. The hard water also sometimes is there, which may not be suitable for the hospital, so one has to make it soft. The water supply, the pipeline, etc. should be durable and should be easily maintainable. There should be ongoing monitoring done for the water supply at various levels, the various kinds of water required, and monitoring and review is very essential, and then whenever you find there are any problems, go on correcting it and try to prevent it for the future. So preventive and corrective action one has to take. What are the various factors to be considered when looking into the quality of water supply? As far as the technical aspect is concerned, one has to select the right kind of technicians, and the filters also one has to have technically very highly technical, which are giving you the right results. The capacity of it, how much water supply is there, based on that the right capacity filters also should be available. One has to have the skilled operators, and they should be able to maintain the proper water supply. It should be available all the time and easily accessible to all people who need it. One has to see the community, what is the demand, how much people are participating in that, and always see to it that there is no wastage of water. Proper ICE materials should be displayed everywhere in the hospital, information, communication, education, in the form of see to it that there is no wastage of water. Water is a great resource. People should not be keeping the tap open all the time. People should be minimizing the water consumption whenever it is possible. In the washrooms, one should have a separate way of watering the water closet for urination and for stool, because urination, it will require less water supply, while stools, we may require more water supply. It should not be common for both. So one should be able to maintain it well, so that minimum water wastage will be there. There should be willingness and capacity to pay for the right kind of water, potable water available and maintain. There should be behavior based training regarding links between health, water hygiene and sanitation given to your staff, your community, your patients and their relatives as well, so that people know the importance of the right supply of water and conservation of water as much as possible at the same time. Environmental, one should know quality of water source, from where the water is coming, what is the quality of this water source. One has to protect, see that the protection at the source itself is there, so that there are no contamination occurring from environment. There should be continuity of supply maintained for the water. There should not be any power, the failure of water available at certain timings, because there is lot of usage of water at a particular timing, while the bathing is done, or while early in the morning people are going for taking bath or going for toilet facilities and all that. So at that time also the power should not be less, whereby people are not getting adequate water. So continuity of supply, impact of excreta on the environment, one has to be very careful about it. One has to have the proper sewage linings, and they should be properly maintained, so that there is no effluvia coming out of these lines, where there are chances of contamination with the drinking water pipeline, or there should not be any bad odor coming out of it, because it's a very, very hygienic condition we want in a hospital where patients are being treated. There should be proper institutional framework for maintaining the quality of water supply. One has to maintain all the legal requirements. What is the potable or drinking water legal requirements? It should be 100% bacteria free, odor free, clear, colorless. One should also see to it that all the national standards are followed. One can have support from NGOs, government. Whatever skills are required, one can take care of that by the rightly skilled people and one has to monitor the water supply throughout. As far as the managerial factors are concerned, one has to think about the local economy. One has to regularly have the training programs for the managerial people to see to it that they are up to date about the latest requirement as far as the legal things are concerned, the newer technologies are concerned. So the need should be felt by the community, and the availability of the right technical skills should be available all the time, because it's a 24/7 requirement for the hospital. As far as the financial factors are concerned, one has to think about the capital cost required for the huge amount of water supply required for the hospital in the form of the right kind of storage tanks, the right kind of filtration plants if required, the RO plant for the dialysis, etc. So capital cost one has to think of, then availability and willingness to pay by the management of the hospital, one should know what are the recurrent costs which are going to occur for annual maintenance of these equipments, annual maintenance of these plants, etc., and what are the likely cost of the spare parts also one has to think of. After understanding the various factors for quality of the water supply, let's understand now the water supply system itself, how it should be maintained in a hospital. As far as the water supply system is concerned, there are two important components to that. The one is water supply distribution networks. That means what will be the network of the whole water supply distribution throughout the hospital, in the OPD, in the ICU, in the wards, in the central supply department, in the laundry. There are so many departments everywhere, how it will be supplied based on the requirement. And the second one is sewage disposal, which is also equally important, because if that is not done properly, it can lead to the quality of the water supply being adversely affected. There can be odor problems, and overall hygiene of the hospital will be not maintained well, which will lead to a major problem for the hospital services. Now to identify the source of water supply, like whether it is from municipal authorities, or whether it is bore well or tube well, or whether it is a tanker supply, or whether you are using the recycled water, because today is the major talk going on everywhere regarding the sustainability. Water is a great resource and one has to conserve it, one has to reuse it after utilizing also by having the right kind of recycle methods done. And then of course one has to see the quality of that water and use it for the proper purposes. For example, if the quality cannot be improved to the drinking water type, then it may be used for toilets, etc. So to ensure a continuous supply of water in the hospital where it is required 24/7, as we know, one has to have the proper storage capacity of the underground sumps as well as the overhead tanks to be provided in hygienic conditions. There should not be any leakages, there should not be any holes in the crevices, etc., whereby it can get contaminated and mixed up with suspended particles and various other things. So naturally they have to be cleaned also periodically and see to it that everything is being maintained very well. Now to ensure the water requirement of hospital, as per the National Building Code, the hospital, including the laundry per bed, if we consider how much water will be required, it will be number of beds when it is not exceeding 100, then 340 liters per head per day is required. In case the number of beds are exceeding 100, they will need 450 liters per head per day. For the nurses, medical staff, quarters, etc., you may need 135 liters per head per day. And minimum hot water requirement for a hospital purpose is 45 liters per head per day. It may be required for laundering, central sterilized supply department for producing steam, for taking bath for certain patients, for lukewarm water required and all that. If the winter season is there, many people will ask for the comparatively hot bath. So what are the various design elements for water supply system? Let's go through it. One should be having a continuous and reliable supply of water throughout the hospital, all 365 days a year. One should be totally dependent on this supply. So whatever are the water resources with us, whatever are the water storages with us, they should be fully stored and available all the time, 365 days a year. So one has to be having a continuous supply of water, and one should be having 100% guarantee that it will be available. No time, no point of time you will be having shortage of water. As far as the quality of water is concerned, it will depend on two factors. One is quality of the raw water supply, where the quality required for various purposes one has to know, and based on that the standards are there, and that kind of water should be available. And for laboratory purpose, for dialysis purpose and all, you need high quality water. For drinking purpose also you will need high quality water supply. So based on the requirement you should have the. Then the second factor is distribution network, where hot water system which is required to patients' bathroom, then central sterile supply department, laundry, laboratory, etc. And the cost ease of maintenance and operation, one has to see to it that the overall cost of water supply should not be very high. At the same time, one should be able to maintain all the operations of the hospital properly wherever the water is required, and everywhere the water will be required, whether it is the raw water, whether it is the potable water, whether it is the hot water, steam, etc. So this is the hot water supply in hospital schematic diagram, where you can see where all is required and how it is to be given. So let's understand what are the various functions of water supply. It's an essential measure to protect the health of people, whether it is patients, staff, all of them. You should be having a protected groundwater source for that, so that you are 100% sure that there is no contamination of water occurring from outside. It should be made safer further by boiling, filtration, disinfection, etc., to see to it that it is potable water. Water for hand washing also should be properly clear and clean. It is required for basic sanitation facilities, for cleaning hands, foot, various wounds for the patients, taking bath. For food hygiene, you need high quality water when you want to wash the vegetables, fruits. In case you are giving non-veg food, then even the animals, the meat, etc. You should have a proper wastewater drainage system available, so that there is no mix-up of the clean water and the drainage water at any point of time. And it should be leading to a good hygiene promotion all over the hospital. One has to ensure the quality of the water, that it should be potable water. You should have a proper water safety plan. It should be always in the enclosed thing. It should not be open to environment. The national standards and chemical guidelines, as well as radiological parameters given in the various acts, should be followed thoroughly. And as per the NABH guidelines also, one should see to it that the potable water is given where the proper national standards are followed, all the chemical guidelines are followed, that it should not be acidic, not alkaline, it should be neutral base, it should be having the no odor, it should be clean, clear, no suspended particles should be there. As well, there should not be any radiological precipitates in that which can adversely affect the health of a person. There should be microbiological, microbial safety in the sense that it should be zero bacteria. There should not be any E. coli in that. As far as the disinfection is concerned, you can use chlorination. There are methods for how much liters of water will need how much of free chlorine. So based on that, you are supposed to calculate and use that. The water for medical purposes, whenever it is used, as for example for hemodialysis, you have to maintain absolute strict criteria for microbial as well as chemical composition of this water, because it's directly going in the blood of the patient for filtration of his blood, and if it is slightly infected also, it can lead to a major problem for the vulnerable patient who may be immunologically compromised at times with low hemoglobin and all. So it can lead to a major problem for that kidney failure patient. So one has to be very strict about the microbial and chemical criteria of this RO plant which are there for hemodialysis. What are the various water facilities and access to water? As far as the drinking water points are concerned, you should have separate for hand washing and any other purposes for which you are using the water. Piped, it should be clearly marked that these are the drinking water pipes and these are the hand washing pipes. Preferably liquid soap should be used rather than the soap bars. Now you will wonder, what's wrong in soap bars? We have been using it for years together, soap bar to wash your hands. Even today we have seen some of the restaurants where soap bars are used for washing on the wash machine. Whenever a soap bar is used, it is wet. One person's hand is dirty, he goes there, he uses the soap bar, there may be some bacteria on his skin. Now these bacteria will be transferred on the soap bar, and still it is wet. These bacteria may multiply there because of the environmental conditions which are conducive to multiplication of the bacteria. And the amount of detergent in that soap is not enough for the multiplied bacteria that are there. Within a short time they may multiply. And the next person goes and washes his hands with the same soap. These bacteria get transferred on his skin, and then with this hand he touches his eyes, he touches his nose, he touches his any body part, and then you can understand these bacteria can be transferred in his body. And that is why liquid soap is better, whereby the liquid is coming drop by drop from the dropper and the person is able to wash his hands. There is no direct touch of his skin to the nozzle of the liquid soap dispenser, and hence there are no chances of bacterial transfer occurring there. There can be alcohol based hand rubs which may be used, especially outside the isolation rooms, outside the surgical rooms, surgical wards or the ICUs and all. Such hand sanitizers are very good, and many of the hospitals are now having this just at the entrance of ICUs and isolation rooms and wards and all, so that before a person enters that, he has to just press that and some hand sanitizer will come on his hand, which he is supposed to slowly rub on his hands and then only enter, so that anything he is going to touch is not going to transfer the bacteria there. They are going to kill on his hands. Showering facilities, if we see, they should be separate for staff and patients. As far as the excreta and waste disposal is concerned, a hospital should be having sufficient number of toilets for staff as well as for patients, their relatives, the attendants, etc. There should be separate toilets for staff and patients and their relatives. There should be separate toilets for males and females also. So, on an average, it has been calculated statistically that one toilet for 20 users is good enough. In case of OPD, you can have four toilets, one for female, one for male, one for children, and one for staff. If there are around 10-12 OPDs with you on a particular floor, you can have four toilets for that. It should be designed for local cultural as well as social conditions, so that people are able to use it conveniently. It should be safe. Convenient hand washing should be available at the right place. There should be easy accessibility for all, and it should be well maintained for cleanliness and hygiene purpose. Regular antiseptic solutions should be used for toilets and all, because that's the most likely place where it gets dirty. Wastewater, if we see, it should be removed rapidly. Wastewater is bound to be generated in a hospital due to after use. So it should be removed rapidly and cleanly so that it is not getting contamination to other water supply. So one should avoid the contamination of this wastewater by any chance. As far as the prevention of environmental contamination is concerned, one should take all the precautionary measures and use the latest technology so that there are no chances of any contamination occurring of this wastewater or the sewerage water.